Hi, my loves. This episode is brought to you by the Yoni Pleasure Palace. So this is a place to go for all of your crystal wands, your crystal dildos, your sex toys that are more sensual, and your yoni eggs. So today I want to talk to you about this yoni egg, the rose quartz yoni egg, which is really beautiful for healing trauma inside of your vagina, and it's also going to help you strengthen your pelvic floor muscles. So a really good place to start is with this little miracle egg right here. Go to yonipleasurepalace.com, use the code Melissa to get 25% off your entire order. It's the best discount you will find online. And without further ado, let's get on with the show. Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome back to Love, Sex, and Magic with me, your host, Melissa Wells. And today's episode is quite a juicy one, if I do say so myself. We are joined by the fabulous Taylor Simpson. Taylor Simpson is a leading expert in the field of wealth, energetics, and sexual liberation. Her work has been featured in Forbes, Vox, on ABC, Fox News, The Washington Post, and many others. She is passionate about helping women speak their truth, own their desires shamelessly, and create the life of their dreams, all by activating and embodying their truest selves. Taylor is the host of the Embodied Woman podcast, creatrix of multiple online programs around shadow work, wealth, sexuality, a retreat host, an investor, and a philanthropist. In this episode, we talk about Taylor's journey with her own anger and rage, and how she transmuted that into sacred rage practices. We also talk about sexuality. We talk about conscious kink. We talk about shadow work. We even talk about BDSM. So this podcast is an absolute must listen for all women on a spiritual path and on a path of shadow work. Let's dive in. This is a really juicy one. Taylor, welcome to Love, Sex, and Magic.
I am so excited to be here. So excited.
I'm so excited to have you here. I mean, where do we even begin? You are such a soul sister to me, and I've been so deeply grateful for our friendship from the day that we met, which I believe was in Costa Rica.
In Costa Rica.
And we went to your first Aya retreat together.
Yes. Yep.
So I think we went very deep, very fast together. And since then, you know, I learned so much from you. You inspire me on a daily basis just in the way you show up, sister. And you came and taught workshops on our last Goddess Collective retreat in Costa Rica, which was so incredible. So thank you for all of that. Yeah. And where should we begin today? Because you just, there's so many things that you have embodied and are an expert on, the chakra work, sacred sexuality, rage, shadow work. I think where I want to start today is going back to little Taylor. Because I've heard all these stories, but I really think your journey is so powerful for people to hear.
Yeah.
Can you describe what little Taylor was like?
Oh my gosh, she's so cute. I can see her right now. Little Taylor loved to be outside, barefoot, singing, dancing, like all the things, of course, that I do now, and rollerblading, and just like I grew up on 60 acres in Colorado, mountain girl, like no grass but that high up. So we were just like climbing trees and just being one with nature. And I was happy and always do jokes on my family and all of that, and just saw so much like joy in life. Like I remember I just wake up every morning, talk to my stuffed animals, teach them. I was their teacher. They had school.
Oh my God, like, so cute.
They all lined up in chairs and I had actual curriculum they learned
of
every
course
day.
You did.
Of course. And it was just like I was always so just mystical about the world. Like there's so much magic out there and talking to trees and animals, all of that. And then as I got older, and started to probably around, you know, fifth grade, we moved from Colorado to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, for my dad to go into seminary. And that little girl that was like glowing and happy in nature and barefoot, that got turned off. So that little girl was alive and happy until about that point. And then I'm sure we'll go into that. Then it got just really dark and I lost touch with that glitter covered little girl. Oh. She was so happy and fun.
Oh, the glitter covered little girl. I feel sad for her.
I know.
And what were like some of the outlets that you were using at that time? Like how did that trauma and that split manifest in the body?
So when we moved to Gettysburg, I didn't fit in. I was this mountain girl that was wearing overalls and pigtails. I didn't grow up like with neighbors. So to move from the middle of nowhere to somewhat of a big town where people walk to school and you know everyone, you've grown up with everyone. So I was not only the new girl, but the weird girl, the weird like mountain girl. I tried so hard to fit in with my glitter all over the art stuff from Bath & Body Works. I would put glitter all over myself and people thought I was weird and I'd wear my neon pants and they're like, that's not what we do here. And so the outlets that I had was I had this tree by our home. And so I'd take my dolls out there and play in the tree and climb this one tree we had in town and just try to stay with nature even when like I knew I wasn't in Colorado. And so getting bullied for being weird and too much and, you know, esoteric and just different. Mm-hmm. Being with that tree and being barefoot with my dolls was such a saving grace.
And is that where the, because you have a new podcast with Adam Roa and it's about being too much, right?
Yeah.
Is that where that stems from? Like feeling like you were just too much?
Yeah. And so as I got older from, you know, fifth grade, even all the way to college, I then completely turned off that little girl of me, the glitter covered. I became an expert people pleaser, wanting to be accepted, wanting to fit in, and would morph and change my clothes to fit in with them. And fashion has always been a thing of mine. As a little girl, I carried around a suitcase in my own home with outfit options. Should I change my mind to change my outfit?
That is, I'm sorry, but that is also so Leo.
Such a Leo. We need to express ourselves at every given moment. Such a Leo.
Yeah.
And so to turn that off all the way to college. And so I knew that I was different during all of this. I knew that I was special. I knew I had a bright light. I knew that my difference was this thing that would be accepted and loved at some point. But until then, I went into survival mode. In order to fit in, to be accepted in tribe, my story was I had to do what I had to do to fit in. And it worked, right? I fit in. I was in the popular club, was the cool girl, but I was not myself. And it was exhausting. And that led to food addictions and repressed anger because I grew up with parents who did their best, but a dad who was emotionally abusive, narcissistic. Wow. So I didn't know how to, like, it wasn't safe for me to process my feelings. Mm-hmm. When I would come home and share with my parents that I was bullied or made fun of, they're like, it's okay. That's just what kids do. But it was traumatizing for me to be made fun of for just being me. And that was confusing. Like to be made fun of for just being me, like little Taylor didn't know then what to do. And so without support on how to process my feelings, that anger started boiling up and the physical and verbal and sexual abuse I received from my dad growing up, I didn't know how to process because we weren't taught how to process.
Right.
And so over the years of people pleasing, of completely losing touch with who I was, my truth, shoving food down to numb out, to fill this void. I had this deep, deep void of that little girl that I left in Colorado. Like she's somewhere down there. Maybe if I eat, I'll feel happy again. Maybe if I eat this cookie, I'll get the hug that I've always wanted from my parents. And so with this non-ability to understand what I was doing, just after college, it led me to dealing with massive anger and rage issues so much that I'd be breaking things with my ex, spoiler alert, ex-husband. I would break stuff. I would scream. I would slam doors. And eventually it came to a point, I remember one night on the couch with my ex-husband watching TV as we always do after work, 9 to 5, come home, watch TV. I had just broken a vase for the umpteenth time, crushed an entire thing of Ben and Jerry's bottle of wine. And I remember just sitting there thinking, like, where did I go? Like, this isn't who I am. Mm-hmm. Like, where did Colorado Taylor go? Look at her overalls, her glitter, her happiness, her dancing. Like, she's in there somewhere. I am not this angry, rageful person. I am not this numbed out person. And being with someone who was not kind to me was not my MO. And so the next day, I put myself in anger management and Overeaters Anonymous on the same day because I was like, I've had enough. I want to remember who I am. I want to bring that Colorado Taylor back home. And that was really like the start of where I'm at today.
Wow, babe. And how many years ago was that now?
That was when I was, 24? So 10 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think, yeah, my journey was around the same age, like 23, 24. That's like, that feels like you really hit that rock bottom and you were like, I need help.
Yeah.
I need guidance.
Totally. And I, because we didn't talk about like feelings or getting support growing up, I didn't know like therapy was a thing. I thought therapy was just for people who were on their rock bottom. Little did I know I was that person. Mm-hmm. I didn't know about the self-development world. I was not awoken at that point. I was just, you know, sleepwalking, living in the matrix, working for the government, working for the UN, like very much living this
very matrix.
Very matrix. Like I've had dinner with Hillary Clinton, with Bill Gates, with all these people. That was the world I lived in, which I think back, I'm like, holy hell. Total different lifetime.
Yeah.
Perfect life opposite. On the outside. Looked great on the outside. The marriage, all the things. But yeah, little did people know behind closed doors, I was fucking miserable.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, babe. It's such a powerful, vulnerable story. Mm-hmm. And I want to like talk a little bit more about rage because, you know, anger is something that as women, we're really not shown how to express that emotion.
Yeah.
It's something that I certainly didn't know existed in myself for a long time. And, you know, last year when I had this cyst removed from my ovary, and I looked up the meaning of cyst and it was repressed anger, right? And I was like, holy hell, like I've been repressing anger and I didn't even realize it. And I know where that comes from. That's all to do with my last breakup. But, I'm curious to hear now your relationship with rage, because I know you teach sacred rage rituals.
Yeah.
How do we transmute our rage from something that's like so murky and shadowy into something that is actually healthy?
Yeah. And it is, it's so sad, but also becoming empowering that women weren't taught like how to be angry.
Oh no.
The moment we got angry or even screamed, it was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, no, that's not what girls do. Like that's ugly.
That's not feminine.
That's not feminine.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You're crazy right now.
Yeah. Like when I would have temper tantrums as a toddler. My mom tells me now, I would pass out. I would scream so loud and rage so much. My parents wouldn't do anything about it because they didn't know how to handle the fire. It was just this little dragon that they were like, I'm just going to let her process. And I'd pass out because the intensity was so much.
For your little body.
For my little body. It would just clunk out and I'd be out. And then I'd play with my toys afterwards. So like over and over again.
Just knocking yourself just out knocking because of your own rage. Because
of my so much fire that didn't know how to be transmuted.
Because you have Aries as well in your top three, right?
Yes.
Is it Aries rising?
Yeah, Aries is moon? My north node.
Oh yeah, Aries north node.
Yes. Aries my north node. Yep. And so like that's kind of where I come from. And so women, when we begin to embrace, first of all, that the feminine energy is chaotic. It is like pure anarchy. It's beautiful. It's ugly. It's messy. It's sexy. It's all like feminine is like pure chaos. Beautiful chaos is how I like to explain that. Mm. So I want to just start off with like it is beautiful to be in all of our feelings. It is beautiful and empowering to actually honor all of the feelings. And we are unlearning that as women. And how beautiful is it when we as women can go so dark and so in the depths of our rawness, of our feelings in a way that the masculine can't? Like we can go so deep and we allow ourselves to have even just that mindset shift of, oh, it's beautiful to go deep. Like that's actually part of being a feminine essence. Like that is actually feminine to be in our anger and our rage because we're addressing these feelings. And so just some ways to begin to move through and into rage and anger is honoring these parts that want to be felt. Like anger and rage are just repressed feelings. We don't always have to know the feelings or where it comes from. Mm. I think it's easy sometimes to overanalyze and microanalyze. Okay, where is this coming from? Where is this anger coming from? Is this resentment against so-and-so? Anger against my dad? And really, it's just, it might just want to be expressed from someone bullying you in fifth grade.
Right. Like, it's a trapped emotion that just needs somewhere to go.
Yeah. Mm. And so when we just see it as that, and we don't always have to define it, and looking at it as trapped emotion that just wants to be felt. It wants to be expressed. And that could be through screaming, through yelling, through punching pillows, and we can go into different techniques. But first, really honoring anger and rage as the just as beautiful feelings as bliss and ecstasy. Mm. It's just on the same amount of the range. And I like to say that anger is the sharp end of love. So if love was a triangle, right, or a square, anger and rage is just that little edge. Mm. And it's actually the most like alchemizing one. When we actually feel the anger and the rage, that alchemy that we can move into love is so powerful. Like I'm sure each of us have been through those parts where after we screamed and yelled at someone, whether consciously or unconsciously, either one, we feel really good on the other side.
Yes.
Again, whether it was done healthily or not.
Oh, gosh.
We feel lighter.
Totally. There's like times where I have felt so much anger rise in my body. And I've like asked my body, what do you need? And it's literally like, just scream.
Yeah.
Just yell. Just like out into the sky, into the ocean. Just get it out of my body.
Yeah.
You know, and it just feels like such a release.
Yeah.
And such a weight lifted afterwards.
Yeah.
And also all the pillow punching is good as well.
Yeah.
But for me, like I just like screaming just into nothingness for me has been really powerful.
Yeah.
What you were saying about anger being the sharp point of love.
Yeah.
What came up for me when you said that was when we are that angry, it's often because we have loved so much. We've like been so passionate about something.
Yeah.
Or we've loved someone so much and then they've hurt us. And we, the anger, if we're angry at the world, it's because we care so much.
Yeah.
So I really see how like it's always coming from love.
Always. And when we can learn to honor that. Like, okay, if I can play the what if game, like what if anger is the sharp edge of love? That means it wants to be loved. It wants to be felt. It wants to be honored. And the moment we pause and think, okay, why am I angry? Okay, it might be the world. What's the best way to alchemize this fire that's moving through my body that if I were to lead with it, it probably would not be nice and kind, nor help elevate the world, which is why we're all here. What could I do to feel this edge, to lean into this edge, knowing that on the other side, that's where I want to be. Mm. That's the impact I want to make is on the other side of this. That's where we get to that pause, that in between of, okay, that means I want to scream right now because I'm so pissed at the world. I want to punch a pillow because my husband said something that was so triggering, right? I want to scream so loud because my kids are making me feel crazy. Right? They're all valid. Mm. All of the reasons we feel angry are totally valid. And when we empower ourselves and take back that power, because anger and rage repressed and not looked at from a place of love can take over us.
Mm.
Like anger can very easily, it is a very, on the hurts chart, shame, guilt, anger are very low hurts. So measurable, they're low. They're dense, which is why when you're angry, you feel heavy, like your fists actually go into a ball because the energy is being condensed. And so if you want to get nerdy with it, the vibration of anger is slow. It's murky. It's heavy. The vibration of love is light. It's high. It's like hummingbird vibration. So if we want to be in this state of hummingbird vibration to change the world, to be happy, to make money, whatever it is, to feel sexy, but then we need to go into that murky low vibe, not even like hashtag low vibe, but actual low vibration frequency that is anger, shame, guilt, and feel into it. Mm-hmm. That's where we could take deep breaths and then scream and get primal, like hands, feet on your, hands and knees on the floor and get primal with it. then we can alchemize it into love.
I love this. So can you go into a little bit more like the difference between something like getting on your hands and knees, screaming, getting all primal versus throwing a vase?
Yeah.
Or like something else. Mm. Like even just using that as an example.
Yes, totally.
Because some people will be like, I'm expressing my sacred rage.
Yeah.
And they're just like wrecking the place.
Yes.
Give us some different examples and how do we know where we're in the shadow, where we're in the sacred?
Love this question. So both are great when done intentionally. Think of primal as it's inward, it's deep, it's downward is the best way to kind of feel into that. Throwing and that type of, which you can make sacred when intentionally done, that's external, that's outward, that's release. So practice I like to take people through is going into primal first. So you want to go in order to go out, we have to go in. It's always contracting, expanding, contracting, expanding. The deeper we can go, the wider we can receive. Mm-hmm. So think of primal as going deep, as contracting. So this is where we get to be on our hands and knees. If you're outside on the grass, you know, putting your hands in the mud and you're feeling and embodying the vibration of anger. You are becoming the jaguar, the lion, the tiger, and you are just like ripping apart your prey. Whatever vision you have to get you into this primal state so you can feel the depths of what wants to be felt. Because if we go right to the external rage, the release, we're not going deep. It's kind of like an orgasm just to have an orgasm versus going inward to have a orgasm. Completely different.
Okay.
It's like making love versus just masturbating to have an orgasm.
So like when I'm like screaming out into the abyss, that's not me. Like it sounds like what you're talking about is like really embodying the anger within my body first instead of just like, I need to get this out. Let me get it out.
Which is fine. So with the process of going inwards and getting primal and feeling and embodying that anger, and that rage, then when you move through it, allow it to literally become you. Become the anger. Become the rage. Is where you can punch a pillow, scream at a pillow, but you want to be on your hands and knees, like really in a ball if you need to, contracting. Mm. So once you feel that fire and that anger moving through your body and you're like, okay, I am the anger. Whoa. Like you could feel it from your toes to the top of your head, your hands. You're screaming. You are getting primal. Maybe your jaw is open. This is where you then shift into the release. This is where you shift into, okay, I want this out of my body. I've now felt it. I've embodied it. I've honored how it feels in the depths and the darkness of how it feels. And I know it wants to alchemize. I know it wants to release into love, release out of my body. This is where you then can stand up and scream. This is where I actually encourage throwing something. I have a plastic potted plant that I keep on my front porch. And I, once I'm done getting primal, I will take this potted plant and I will take all of this anger that's in my body, the rage, and I will hold the plant and feel all of it go into the plant. I just keep saying, because where attention goes, energy flows. So just, I give this pot all of my anger. I give it all of my rage. I give it all of my sadness, my guilt, my shame, all of that. And when I feel that this embodiment has been alchemized into condensed energy into the pot, you can use a ball, anything, I then throw the pot as far as I can into the woods. And I say, release. Like I release this. I release this. And the moment you do that, you're like, whoa, because you've given it time in your body to be felt, given it something to go into, because that's where most people get tripped up is I feel anger. Now what the fuck do I do with it?
Right.
Like how do you feel it in your hands? You can clench. You're trying to hold on to the anger. That's where you want to have something in our hands to give it to feel it come out of our hands and then let Mother Nature take it.
Let it leave us.
Let it leave us.
Ooh,
powerful practice to alchemize
ritual.
It.
Thank you for sharing that. You know, what also I feel is so important to talk on is the release of anger is also really healthy for opening our throat chakra, right? And healing the blocked throat chakra, which I think so many women struggle with. you know, not being able to use their voice, not speaking up, yeah. being told we have to be quiet, not expressing anger, or even just not expressing ourselves at all.
Yeah.
I know you like go so deep into chakra work, and I'd love if you could speak a little bit more about the power of healing the throat chakra.
Yeah, it's such a powerful thing, especially as women. And touching on that sacred rage practice, when you scream and yell, that's activating your throat chakra. That's why you feel better after you yell at someone or you scream at someone, consciously or unconsciously. You're like, you just heard me. Whether you heard me or not, you heard me. So I want to just give that note of how powerful the throat chakra is when we use it consciously or unconsciously. So the throat chakra is directly related to your sacral. So your ovaries, if you were to look at a photo, I need to always carry a photo around, the amount of times I've explained this. If you look at a photo of your ovaries and your larynx, they look very similar. When you look at a photo of looking down at both of them, they look very similar. Mm-hmm. It is not a coincidence at all. This is why witches were hung. This is why we're told to quiet down as little girls. We're not meant to yell or scream, to close up our throat chakra, therefore close up our sacral chakra, which is our sexuality, our creativity. So really the importance and potency of an active and open throat chakra is to speak our truth, to be able to own who we are, to own our medicine, to be clear on our boundaries, on our desires to people and the universe, right? Our throat chakra isn't about just communicating physically. It's about being able to voice to God, the divine, the universe, here's what I want, here's what I need. And when it's coming from a place of this like deep knowing, which is your sacral, that's your truth. There's the overactive throat chakra. This is the interrupter. We've all been there raising my hand. This is the interrupter. I need to be heard. I need to talk loud. I need to overtalk people. This is where we are the, I like to say, the false confidence of the, this is all the things that I know. Let me make sure you know all of them, and I'm going to speak about them all day long. Coming from this very egoic place. This is an overactive throat chakra. The underactive is where most women, a lot of women, are healing from, of not speaking their truth because it hasn't been safe, of not voicing their desires or just saying no, period, without having to, heaven forbid, explain ourselves why we're saying no.
Or apologize.
The balanced throat chakra is where we feel it coming from our womb. From our sacral. This is where when someone asks, hey, do you want to be a part of this or go here or go to this event? And you're like, no, but thank you. You feel that. Like you feel that no from your gut. Could be a gut instinct. It's your sacral. It's your womb. And when we have this balanced and healthy throat chakra, we know what we want. We know how to speak clearly, how to speak directly, because the wisdom is coming from our womb, from our sacral. This is why this connection is so powerful and so important for women, especially leaders and light workers, to really get these balanced. So when they speak, when they teach, when they lead, when they voice what they need and want, it's coming from pure alignment, not ego and not shame and fear.
I love that. And I know you teach a lot about sacred sexuality as well. So is it a case of when you start to heal the throat chakra, when you start to balance the throat chakra, that helps you in turn with your sexuality, with your sacral work? Or is it like which order does it go in? Like, how does one impact the other?
Yeah, they both impact each other simultaneously. Some people have their sacral open up and become balanced before their throat. It's like they're like, they feel sexy and they love themselves and they're creative, they're playful. And then all of a sudden they're like, I'm able to voice my boundaries a lot easier. I hear that from my community a lot of the more I've been doing sacral work, all of a sudden I've been saying no.
It's actually very true. I think that was my journey. Now you said that. I'm like, yes, that resonates.
It just clicked. Yeah. It just clicked. So some people learn to speak their truth, but then still have a lot of sexual shame. Some people learn how to voice their boundaries and their desire and ask for what they want. But then there's like, they're not connected sexually. This is people who tend to be in their masculine. where they are direct. They know what they want. It's a balanced, healthy throat chakra, but they are rigid. They are stiff. They're very much in this masculine, which means their sacral still hasn't been connected. Mm-hmm. So it totally depends. What I've seen working with women on this is your upbringing. Like if you were raised in a masculine environment, a feminine environment, a little bit of disbalance in both, and then kind of what friendships you've had growing up along the way, what you were taught, what you had to do, you know, as your career. So I've seen environment be the deciding factor which one opens. Mm-hmm. But the moment one opens, so if you're listening to this and thinking, oh yeah, my sacral's open, I feel sexy and creative and fluid, and but I'm still learning in bed to tell my husband, my partner, I don't like that. Or I want that, or that turns me on, or that doesn't. How do I do that? How do I actually start to voice it? And that's where we get to just start practicing self-love of, okay, I love myself enough. I feel that I'm connected with my womb. Therefore, how can I practice letting my womb speak? How can I practice letting love speak through me? So that's a way to start alchemizing your sexuality and letting that go through your throat by having self-love, having compassion. And then the reverse, when people are in their masculine, the throat chakra is clear, but they want to drop in their sacral. That's where embodiment practices come into place. Movement, breath work, all of these more sensual, easy, sensual little baby steps to get into for women to feel their body, and then they drop down into sexuality.
Beautiful. Oh. And I know that you're really passionate about shadow work, mm-hmm. and I kind of want to bridge into like shadow sexuality and the dark feminine. Because I know that the way that you express sacred sexuality, you are very drawn to like those more like dark erotic arts. Yeah. And I would love to hear like what your journey was like. Yeah. How did you get there? Mm-hmm. And how is that now like a part of your sacred practice? Because for some people, they'd be like, that doesn't feel so sacred to me.
Totally.
Because a lot of that, if they've not done the work or if they've not really looked at it, can feel like, well, this has got to come from trauma or something dark, right?
Totally.
So like, I would love to hear your journey with that.
Yeah. For me, and I when I think of the dark feminine, especially around sexuality, because we can go into dark feminine in so many different areas, but around sexuality, that's for me BDSM and very dark feminine work. And I want to preface it with, had I had this conversation or heard this conversation about BDSM 3 or 4 years ago, I would have been like, nope, I'm out. Like BDSM is for people with trauma. That's some fucked up shit. Like I don't want to be tied up. Why would someone want to be hit? Like that must come from a place of trauma. That stuff is too dark. My belief around the dark feminine and BDSM and this darker, edgier work is, of course, we've been told it was bad. Of course, it's been stigmatized and only, you know, weird, fucked up people do that, because my belief is anything that society deems is bad is usually really good for us. Like, it's usually actually very healing. And so when I started to do sacred rage and go darker into my embodiment practices, I began to feel like lighter afterwards and very almost turned on. I'm like, oh, there's something here. Like I've activated a part of me that wants to be looked into a little more. And so I started to kind of feel this embodiment work of feeling a little turned on and activated after a sacred rage. I lean more into that. And I started to actually practice that through self-pleasure and sacred rage rituals. So I would go into sacred rage and then go into a self-pleasure practice. Mm. And the depth and the range at which that took me was like, you can imagine, night and day, quite literally. And the ability of how I could feel in that before and after was just so drastic and empowering. And so I began to look into BDSM and bring practices in and incorporate them with my husband. And as someone who was actually physically and sexually abused as a child, I quickly began to learn that BDSM, when done consciously, can actually help you heal trauma. Mm. And this is where a lot of people teach conscious kink to heal trauma like this. So this could, what I'm about to share, could sound really weird and fucked up. And I remember hearing these kind of conversations and being like, that's fucking weird. But I was spanked as a child and I was hit as a child. When I got in trouble, I was spanked. So BDSM can actually help you take your power back mm-hmm. with things that were abused to you as a child.
I can completely understand that.
Because you're in control.
Yeah, you're re-experiencing it, but with a different outcome, different set and setting, different relationship.
You're leading it.
Yeah.
Like, you're leading it. Mm-hmm. And so when I began to understand this and incorporate this consciously with my husband, I was like, fuck yeah. Not only is this like hot because like I'm in control of this and it feels great, but I'm like, oh, I'm in charge of my body. Like I get to say who hits me. I get to say who spanks me. Like I get to do that, not anyone else. Mm-hmm. And the moment we spin that and twist that and alchemize that, it's like, oh, hurt people hurt people. Like I'm taking my power back. Here's that hurt that you gave me. I'm now in control. And this is where going into that dark feminine and getting rageful and primal sexually, like that's our innate nature, being primal with sex. I mean, everyone has their preferences and what turns you on, but what I'm talking about is we you know, come from caves in the jungle and we're outside making love. So when we go into this darker part, this darker feminine, this very naughty taboo part of ourselves, like to be in leather and BDSM as a woman, like we'd always thought that wasn't feminine. I'm mm-hmm. actually a submissive when it comes to sexuality. And so we also have this, a lot of people have this story of the dark feminine means that she's in control, that like we think of this dominatrix, that she's like mm-hmm. whipping her man. But actually, we could be in the dark feminine wearing leather and be taken. Mm. We can be the dark feminine, the prey, and have our partner be the predator. Mm-hmm. It all depends on how deep we're willing to go, how raw we're willing to get. And so how we do one thing is how we do everything. So in sex, in that dark feminine, in those parts of that Kali, right, that inner Kali that we all have, that part that wants to like slay everyone's heads off and just be this animalistic woman that we have within us, when we express that in a safe place while having sex, the most primal, natural thing we can do and the most magical, potent thing that we can do, sex magic, all of that. When we can go deep into our powers that way and do so with a partner who's holding space for that, who's playing with that, think about how we then show up in our light feminine. I like to call it the light feminine. Mm-hmm. This is our everyday version. This is like you and I right talking right now. This like leading with light, leading with love, being in our mission, being in our purpose. But it's almost like this inner, your inner dark feminine is like, oh, bitch, I'm still here. Mm-hmm. So when we lead in our daytime life, in our mission, our purpose with our light feminine, mm-hmm. with our Isis, our Kuan Yin, right? She is the face. But once we've alchemized and tapped into our dark feminine and know that she's in there, she's alive. She's not shunned anymore. She's not put in a box and shamed. She's powerful. And so it's almost this kinky little version I like to teach of, oh, I know what's inside of me. I've got this kinky little version that likes to be tied up and hit and all of that in the most beautiful way. She's inside and she's fucking powerful. Like she gets shit done. So when we become that yin and yang, the dark feminine, the light feminine, within ourselves, in our daily basis, we are double powerful, double powerful.
Beautiful. Yeah. Oh, I love just how deep you went.
Yeah.
I want to also touch on, can we go into like shadow sexuality?
Yeah.
Because I think what you're actually speaking about is coming from someone that's done a lot of work on herself and brings a lot of awareness to these darker, more erotic sides of her sexuality. And I feel like for someone listening that's maybe not brought that kind of light to it, maybe expressing that in ways that are actually not so helpful or healthy to that person's soul. So like what would be like some of the ways that we can express the shadow of our sexuality that are not serving us?
Yeah.
And how can we kind of bring awareness to that?
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of women are very afraid of that part of themselves because maybe in the past it has cause destruction. Maybe it has been used to manipulate people, to control men, to get certain things. You know, especially the way that women have been really confused by sexuality and like be this sexual, but not this kind of sexual, yeah. or be sexy, but not a slut, and all these different mixed mm-hmm. messages that we've all had.
Yeah. Love this question. And when we're able to go there, we can, I believe, move through it pretty quickly. And so I love this. My favorite way to teach how to, one, honor your the shadow of shadow sexuality, right? Of dark feminine sexuality, is to, one, just make a list. Make, I'm like OG with this, piece of paper. Write down all of the shame, the judgment you've ever received from yourself, from other people around your sexuality. Maybe you tried to be kinky one time and then you got rejected. So then you became, you know, vengeful and resentful and closed off. So just writing down all the proof, all the beliefs, all of these unserving, unaligned stories you have around your sexuality. Once you see this list, you're honoring, okay, these are parts I see that I've, yeah, manipulated people with, manipulated men, been there. In college, I was like in with men because I wanted attention from men so bad. With sex, a master manipulator with sex. So I get there. I've been there. When we understand then, okay, here's a list of all of these places that I've been, that have brought up shame, resentful, I've manipulated. Begin to just honor those. Of okay, I was doing the best I could with what I had. I firmly believe that. So when you look at that, I was doing the best I could with what I had. I didn't know any better. I'm going to learn better. I'm going to try to accept this part of me. So forgiveness first. Forgiveness for all of these parts that are just wanting to be expressed that society deems as bad and shameful. The next step is my favorite part. Is once you find these parts of you, like the jealousy, the resentful, the manipulator, the needy feminine, all of that, is to actually be turned on by them. Which at first sounds a little weird, but bear with me. So think about, let's lead with insecurity. Or actually, I like jealousy. Let's lead with jealousy. The wounded feminine, the unhealed feminine, I like to say, can be jealous of other women, of men, of anything. So when jealousy arises, maybe your man's looking at another woman, happens to be just like gazing, heaven forbid, at a woman. When you feel that jealousy come up, instead of going into the unhealed feminine of lashing out, of attacking, of being unkind, feel that and be like, oh, look at this darker part of me. You can even name your dark feminine. Mm-hmm. You can call her Susie or Samantha, whatever the hell you want, or some crazy name. Give her a name. So when you feel this jealousy arise, you're like, oh, that kinky little Susie, like, she's fucking jealous right now. And that power, that energy of jealousy is pretty potent. Mm-hmm. So instead of the jealousy taking over me, how about my inner dark feminine take over it? Mm-hmm. So we can actually like not let the unhealed, the vengeful, the attacky, the manipulator take control of us. And instead saying, oh, this is a dark part of me. And I love dark parts of me because dark parts of me, I'm maybe learning to get to know. So if this is for the people who are new to this of, oh, this is weird. Okay. I'm being turned on by me being jealous. Okay. This is weird, but I'm here for it. But okay. Yes. I'm taking my, it's these talking yourself through it of this is awkward. This is weird. Why am I doing this? But oh, I'm taking my power back. Oh, this darker part of me is actually really fucking powerful. Mm. Of course, BDSM is intense. Of course, dark feminine work is intense. Because it's powerful.
Yes.
And like you were saying, most women are terrified of going that dark because we know how fucking powerful we are.
Exactly. There's a reason why we're afraid of it.
Yeah.
Because we haven't experienced that power. We don't know what it's going to do because it
is
chaos.
It could hurt someone. It's chaos.
It's funny, the jealousy thing that you were just talking about, as I was listening to you, I was like, oh my God, this literally happened to me last night.
Yeah.
I was on the phone to Sean, just like describing to me this thing that's going on right now and in his life. And I found myself like a little ping of jealousy.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm noticing that this thing is coming up for me and it feels like jealousy. And like, it felt like I could totally see, like in the moment, I wasn't like, ooh, I'm turned on by this.
Nope.
But I was like, ooh. Interesting.
Yes.
You know, like I wasn't like, oh my God, this is a horrible side of me. I was like, wow, I haven't felt this in a long time.
Yeah.
How interesting.
Yes.
Like, oh, just another part to love and to witness. And ooh, this is what it feels like to be jealous. This is what it feels like to... And I exercise this also when I've been through heartbreak and deep, deep sadness. If we go into that feeling and like truly embrace it and don't make ourselves wrong for feeling it, then it can be like, ooh, it just feels, this is what sadness feels like. Or this is what jealousy feels like. Ooh, let me just feel it.
Yeah.
Let me just be with it.
It's tangible.
Yeah.
But when jealousy comes up, it's a texture. Mm. Jealousy is texturized. Our heart gets faster. We get warm. And we're like, I'm going to fuck that bitch up, whatever it is, whatever you're jealous about.
Yeah.
It's a texture. So when we can instead of letting the feeling take us over, find the texture, right? You felt it. Mm-hmm. You felt like a little ping of like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you can imagine if you went a little deeper into that of like, oh, I wonder how deep I can go into this jealousy. Imagine like that door for you got open. It was like jealousy was written on it and it just got cracked. And you're like, what's this bitch hiding in here? Like, what's down this door? And you go down the door and you're like, oh, there's a lot of texture in here. There's a lot of power in here. What if I can play with this jealousy by myself through self-pleasure and actually like let this texture take over my body? What would it feel like to become the vibration of jealousy? Before you know it, you're like, oh, it's pretty warm. It's pretty hot. Okay. And just keep going down that rabbit hole until you then become it and it's not becoming you.
Oof, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. It's really just like every single emotion, it's none of it is bad.
None of it's
wrong.
It's
all part of the human experience, which I love.
Yeah. Mm. And if we can just honor it and have fun with it, that's why I love teaching this, because we're taught that shadow work and sexual shame and all of this kind of icky, sticky, dark work is meant to be like unbearable and ugly. And while it can sometimes look ugly, we can actually create play around it. And like, what if shadow work didn't have to be uncomfortable and you're like, okay, bye, go into your shadow work. See you on the other side. It's going to be fucking awful. But like, what if we had fun with it? Like, this is why this kind of work, when you go into this from this place of love and seeing that anger and rage and shame is the edge of love, you can play with it in these kind of modalities. It doesn't have to be miserable and icky and unbearable. It can be sexy.
This has been so special. I want to finish with these three questions that I ask every guest. What is something that you are loving right now?
Question. What I'm loving right now is how things are becoming so aligned for me. I really do work off if it's easy, it's for me. If it's not easy, there's an opportunity for growth, and then it gets to be easy. And lately, everything has just been flowing with so much ease, and I am so grateful for that, because that's a testament to the devotion I've had to healing. We are the vibrational match for that which we attract. And so I am very happy for just how things have been flowing with so much ease from the work I've been doing.
And I think I know the answer to this already, but what is something that turns you on?
What is something that turns me on?
Oh, except a lot for everything.
This conversation turns me on. What is something that turns me on is... Oh, I like that. It's coming through. How open my husband is, my king is, to this kind of work. Because not every man knows how to hold women that go into the dark and beyond, that do the work that I do and that's like willing to fucking accept all parts of me and actually go into all parts with me.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. And Johnny is amazing. We love Johnny. Shout out to Johnny. And finally, when was a recent time you experienced magic?
Finding our land that we are in the process of buying in Costa Rica.
Yes.
Yeah. I knew the land would be ours if it made me cry. That was the rule. The only criteria I had. And the moment we got there, it was actually two lots beside each other. I stood there. And the magic from this land moved through my body. It moved me to tears where I just dropped to the ground. I was just on my knees and I was looking at the ocean, jungle beside me, hearing the river to my left. I just said, we need both. We need both. Like this. So it was just the actual magic from the earth moving through my body within a millisecond. Yeah.
That's incredible. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. Mm.
Well, this has been such a pleasure and an honor, sister. Thank you so much. And we're going to link everyone in the show notes where they can come find you, where they can check out more of your work. Thank you so much. Mm.
Thank you so much for sister having me on. I honor you and the work you're doing. So it's been such a pleasure. Thank you.
So my loves, I hope that you loved that episode. If you did, please do share it on Instagram. I would love to see your story tags of you listening to the episode. We love to hear which episodes you guys have loved the most. Please also make sure that you leave us a juicy review on Apple, iTunes, or the podcast app, because that means so much to me and it really helps this podcast spread far and wide. So thank you so much for listening. I love you. I hope your week is filled with love, sex, and magic, and I'll see you next time.